You and I live in a world of incredible uncertainty. Our culture is changing rapidly. And whether we like it or not, the values that have bound us together as a society are being dismantled. The legal definition of marriage has been changed. The biological understanding of our maleness and our femaleness has been tossed aside and now is treated as a subjectively defined issue of identity called gender. And there is so much more. Now, in my view, these things are happening in our culture because people increasingly value feelings more than facts. And personal opinions matter more than objective truth. And the pressure to conform to the latest wave of cultural change is tremendous. It is intense. And those who do not go along are hounded. How do we avoid getting swept up in this? How can we stand firm in this culture as men and women of faith? We must be equipped. That's the answer. And to be equipped means we are taught and we are trained. And that's what we saw in that movie clip we watched from The Guardian. We saw a senior chief petty officer teach his students about hypothermia, not in a classroom, but in a tank full of icy water. You see, he knew that if they went out on a rescue mission and in that setting experienced hypothermia for the very first time in a situation already filled with danger, they might panic and do the wrong thing. It might cost them their lives and the lives of people they were trying to rescue. So he wanted them to know in advance what hypothermia felt like. Then they would know what to do. And what I really like is as their leader, he did not teach them from the sidelines. He was in that tank of icy water with them. He was teaching them about hypothermia as they experienced hypothermia. My favorite line in that clip comes from those final scenes when the captain confronts the chief and he says, "You're supposed to be giving a lecture about the stages of hypothermia." And the senior chief, as he shivers uncontrollably, as his men shiver uncontrollably, he says, "Sir, in about 2.5 minutes, they'll understand." That chief did not want his men to be ignorant. And it required more than classroom teaching. It required some training. Teaching and training go together to equip us to handle the most challenging parts of life. And that's true for Coast Guard rescue swimmers, and it's true for followers of Jesus Christ. This issue of training, of equipping, is what the Apostle Paul addresses in our Bible text this morning. God wants to equip you, and he wants to equip me so that we can live by faith in a world full of uncertainty. Let's take a look at 2 Timothy chapter 3, starting in verse 10. "You, however, know all about my teaching, my way of life, my purpose, faith, patience, love, endurance, persecutions, sufferings. What kind of things happened to me in Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra, the persecutions I endured. Yet the Lord rescued me from all of them. In fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted, while evildoers and imposters will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived." The Apostle Paul is writing to his protege Timothy, who at this time is in the city of Ephesus. The Ephesian church has been infiltrated by false teachers who are undermining the truth about Jesus Christ. Timothy is there to fix things, and it's not an easy task. So Paul writes him to offer some instruction and encouragement. And one of the main ways that Paul encourages Timothy is by reminding him of his solid spiritual foundation. A foundation that was laid by Paul, Timothy's spiritual mentor. Now at the outset of this passage, in verse 10, Paul reminds Timothy of their mentoring relationship. And when Paul says here, you know all about me and all about these different aspects of my life, he's saying something that's very fascinating in the original Greek text. There's a word that he uses which means to come alongside or to trace out an example. And that's exactly what's happened in this relationship. Paul has traced out his life as an example for Timothy. And Timothy has followed alongside Paul in many real-life situations, both good and bad. They've walked the dusty roads of the ancient Middle East together and shared meals together. They've gone into unfamiliar towns and preached about Jesus together. They've been harassed for their faith and shared persecution together. As a result of these varied life experiences, Timothy knows more than what Paul believes. He knows how Paul lives. When Paul has succeeded, Timothy has seen it. When Paul has failed, Timothy's been by his side. And through all of those experiences, Paul has been able to use them to train Timothy, not just teach him, but to train him how to live as a follower of Jesus. Timothy's Christianity was not learned in a classroom. It was learned by following alongside Paul to see how faith works in the circumstances of daily life. Paul was more than a teacher. He was a mentor. Because he knew that to live by faith in an uncertain world, it requires far more than just teaching. It requires some training. You see, if we're properly taught, but not properly trained, our knowledge may not do us any good. And that's because under pressure, people who are not trained often wilt. And that's how many false teachers get started. Paul refers to them here in our text in verse 13 as evildoers and imposters. It's tragic, but many false teachers start out as faithful believers. But they prefer to avoid harassment and persecution. They prefer to maintain their popularity, so they adopt views that are trendy and comfortable and politically correct. I think of the pastor I know who abandoned the biblical view of marriage and now performs homosexual weddings. I believe he fell into that trap because he was not properly equipped. He was taught what to believe, but not how to live. And in the face of fear and uncertainty, he deceived himself. And now he's deceiving others. That's why we all need to be trained as Paul trained Timothy. So who is training you? Who is speaking into your life? Many of you here are veterans of the life of faith. Are you training anybody? Is there anybody that you're bringing alongside you so they can learn from you up close and see your life in action? The good, the bad, and the ugly, and see how faith works in the crucible of daily life? That's what mentoring involves. And Timothy was in a very difficult situation in Ephesus. Pressure and false teaching in the church, pressure and harassment from the culture outside the church, and he was able to stand because he'd been trained. Trained and equipped by a mentor. A mentor whose teaching and training did not derive from his own wisdom, but from the wisdom of God. Paul's training of Timothy had a lasting effect because it came from the timeless truth of the Bible. And that's what Paul writes about next. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures. I marvel at that. From infancy you've known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is God-breathed. God-breathed. And he's useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training. Training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. We know from other parts of the Bible that Timothy grew up in the home where there was a mixed marriage. His father was a Greek who worshipped pagan gods, but his mother and grandmother were faithful Jews. And as a result of the devotion and commitment and faith of those women, from Timothy's earliest days, he was grounded in biblical wisdom. He was able to understand, as we can understand, that apart from Jesus, we're lost. We're lost in our sins without Jesus, and we need to be saved. And after we're rescued by God, we're lost if we don't follow Jesus faithfully. We need God's wisdom to navigate life. Timothy had that wisdom poured into him, and we need to have it poured into us as well. And we need to do more than just sit here on a Sunday morning and listen to somebody preach. I believe one of the best, most valuable ways to allow the Word of God to capture our minds and our hearts and our lives is to read it for ourselves. And one of the things that is actually heartbreaking is that most Bible-believing Christians never actually do that. The percentage of Christians who pick up their Bible and read it on their own outside of church or some official church program is minuscule. And when I ask people about that, a lot of people say, I don't know how to read it. I don't know where to start. So if you've never made Bible reading a practice, here's my suggestion about how to get started. Pick one of the biographies of Jesus, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, one of those books so you can learn about Jesus. And just read a chapter a day. And after you read, ask these three questions. What does this passage teach me about God? What does this passage teach me about myself in relationship to God? What does this passage teach me about the life of faith? Now, if you make that a habit and you regularly read your Bible, and you ask those kinds of questions, you will start to see how the Word of God applies to your life in very specific ways. And as we engage in that kind of practice, we're going to find that we're gleaning the kind of wisdom that Timothy gleaned. The kind of wisdom that serves as a foundation to shape our lives and equip us to navigate a world of uncertainty. I love the way that Paul here describes the power of the Scriptures. He says it's God-breathed. I just love that. Some translations say inspired, but it was breathed out by the very breath of God. He breathed this book into existence for us so that we could learn about him and be equipped for life. And we are Bible-believing Christians, and we value biblical knowledge, but we need to see that God gave us his word for more than just information. There's four specific ways here that God equips us through his word. First is teaching. The Bible gives us knowledge about God and about the life of faith. But then the Bible is useful for rebuking, pointing out behavior that's wrong, behavior that's harmful to ourselves and to others. But the Bible never just leaves us with a rebuke. It always gives us the positive side. So it's good for correcting, explaining behavior that's good and positive and beneficial. And so when a rebuke and a correction go together, it's as if God is saying to us, don't do this, do this instead. He points out how we should live. But fourth is training. Training in righteousness, which means training in the way to live rightly. God wants to use his word to equip us to live as men and women of faith in this world full of uncertainty. And in my view, training is one of the most overlooked aspects of Christianity. In our reverence for the Bible, we've made the acquisition of Bible knowledge the highest value. Now, we need that knowledge, but knowledge alone is not enough. We must be trained about how to use it. As Paul says, we need to be equipped for every good work. In other words, equipped to do the right thing. And for the most part, training doesn't happen in church. This is a place of teaching where we lay the foundation, but training takes place out there. And that's why we need to come alongside each other, as Paul came alongside Timothy. And we may not all have mentors, and we may not all be able to serve as mentors, and yet we all can help equip each other in the life of faith by spending time together in our homes, in our workplaces, in recreation. And as we do those things, being attentive to what God is doing and looking for opportunities to talk together about how our faith is relevant in this moment of life or that moment of life. We can come alongside each other, and through relationships, in very informal ways even, we can teach and rebuke and correct and train each other as God intends his truth to be used. Paul and Timothy spent huge amounts of time together, and they discussed matters of life and faith. And as a result, Timothy was taught. He also was trained. He was equipped for life. And because Timothy was equipped, he was able to withstand what was happening in Ephesus. He was able to make a difference in Ephesus. And Paul knows that Timothy's under pressure, but he knows that Timothy has a solid foundation. And so he wraps up this passage by exhorting Timothy to stand firm in the faith and to not allow himself to be overwhelmed by what's happening in the culture. Let's look at Paul's final comments. In the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing and his kingdom, I give you this charge. Preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. Listen to this next section. It's prophetic. For the time will come when people will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. But you keep your head in all situations. Endure hardship. Do the work of an evangelist. Discharge all the duties of your ministry. Paul is obviously writing this exhortation to Timothy, but I think virtually everything that he says applies to every follower of Jesus Christ. And first and foremost, we will never fully understand the Apostle Paul unless we realize just how much his view of life was shaped by his understanding of eternity. When we live with an eternal perspective, it changes how we deal with the present. And Paul knows that a new day is coming. He knows that someday the eternal God will come and will judge every human being who ever lived. And then he will establish his kingdom on earth and in heaven. And we need that assurance of eternity because this world and the culture of this world will never provide us with any lasting sense of security. And we see that here in verses 3 and 4, where Paul describes the challenge of living in an age of uncertainty. It's a time when people are not interested in truth. Instead, they're driven by their personal feelings and their personal preferences. They're driven by self-indulgent narcissism. Now, modern-day America is not the only culture ever to experience this. But we certainly fit Paul's description in our world today. The question is, how do we respond? Paul tells us, we prepare ourselves to follow Jesus and be faithful to him in season and out of season. Paul is saying there's no specific season for the spiritual life. There's not just one time or one place for our faith to be expressed. He's saying faith must be active in every area of our lives. And I think that point is particularly relevant for us. Because as products of Western culture, we are conditioned to compartmentalize our lives. Work is over here. Home and family's here. Church is over here. And right now, our culture is pushing hard to have people of faith compartmentalize their lives even more. The message of the culture is keep that religious stuff in your church and don't you dare bring it with you into the workplace, into the school, into your politics, or anywhere else. And if we let ourselves be defined by the culture, then we will not stick with sound teaching. We will not follow the truth. Instead, we'll choose the way of comfort. We'll go along to get along. And we'll follow the culture instead of following Jesus. Our faith is under pressure today. Much in the way that Timothy's faith was under pressure in Ephesus. And that's why Paul reminds him, keep your head in all situations. And I am convinced that the only way you and I can do that is to be taught and then trained. Then we have knowledge and we know what to do with it. Let's think back to that video clip we saw from The Guardian. I think it's not only a great illustration of teaching and training, I think in some ways it's a metaphor for life. Because you and I are in the water of an icy culture. a culture that is very cold toward God, and it's getting colder. And for some people, hypothermia is setting in. And the amazing thing about hypothermia is oftentimes you don't realize how bad you're doing. Have we been taught the truth so we know what to believe? Have we been trained in the truth so we know how to live? We need to be equipped to save ourselves and to save those around us who are also in this freezing water of our increasingly godless culture. And when you and I are equipped to follow Jesus, regardless of what happens in the culture, that's when we can experience true freedom. We're set free from the need to get along. We're set free from ignorance. Because then we will know what is right. And we will be equipped to do what is right.